that the custom, the ritual that we have of Tashlich, of going to the water on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, I'm sorry, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, in order to cast our sins away. So it says that one should go to a well which is outside the town. That is a direct reference to this period of time. Because if Jews, can you imagine if Jews gathered at a well and they threw their sins into that well, and then tomorrow the bubonic plague came? So the halacha provided that if you were going to fulfill the custom, you do it in a place that is not noticeable, in a place that is not the main area of drinking water, in a place where you would not be under Christian surveillance. All of that in order to stop these things from occurring. But here you have a long and bitter list of which Jews are accused. And the church and the government could turn it on and turn it off anytime they wanted to. Every Jew almost was guilty of usury. Usury was a law. Everyone was guilty of it. Just as later we'll see during the time of the Tsar, for instance, the Tsar had a law that you were not allowed to send money out of the country. And since the Jews in Russia collected money for their less fortunate brethren in the land of Israel or in other places who needed help, and the money was always brought into the rabbi, and the rabbi somehow got it to Palestine, let's say, to Jerusalem, so any rabbi could be arrested at any time for breaking the law. And the stories that we'll hear later, how the Lubavitcher Rebbe was placed in prison, and other great rabbonim were placed in prison. They were all arrested. They were arrested for that law. And they were all guilty, because the law was not only an unjust law, it was impossible to be a Jew and stay within the framework of that law. So here again you had the catch 22. The non-Jews forced the Jews into being the middleman in usurious contracts. They forced them to be in the interest and money lending business, but that since that was against the law, the Jews could therefore always be prosecuted for it. And that was the beginning of the unraveling of Spanish Jewry. Final point I want to make about Spanish Jewry in this sad end to what had been a glorious past was that there was a great deal of recrimination within Spanish Jewry why these troubles came upon them. And we find in the writings of the time already that there was a severe dispute regarding the study of philosophy. The study of philosophy is really a euphemism for the study of secular subjects, for attempting to assimilate and integrate oneself into the country. Now, the Spanish Jew, more than any other Jew until Germany and the United States, the Spanish Jew felt himself part of Spain. That certainly was true under Muslim rule. It even was true under Christian rule. And now when all these troubles befell them, and many of them felt that that was a punishment from heaven for their having, so to speak, watered down their Jewishness. Others said, look at our brethren, the Ashkenazim, who live in France and Germany and who are not participants in philosophy or secular studies and who are not part of the fabric of society, and their fate is no better than ours. And therefore it's wrong to assign this type of blame for that cause. But nevertheless, we have from the beginning of the